Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Well, the cost of gasoline has skyrocketed since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but even before that, we all have been paying a lot more for just about everything. Food costs more, cars, new and used, cost more if you can find what you want to buy. And there just seems to be no end in sight. Tonight, we're giving you tips on how to deal with the pocketbook pressure of inflation and helping you to save every dime. Get ready to take a few notes. My guest is Susan Hogan, NBC4 consumer reporter. If you have a question or a comment, or if you have your own inflation money-saving tip, please share it with us. We all could use it. The lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Harold, I am awesome. How are you, my friend?
I'm hanging in here. I'm just waiting for your next report that will tell us how much they're going to start charging us to breathe the air.
Oh, gosh. Exactly. I don't want to say don't hold your breath.
You're too quick for me, Susan. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, the report that you had today was about interest rates, the Fed raising interest rates. I'd like for you to kind of give us the rundown on what happened and what that means for those of us who are concerned about having to pay much more when it comes to our credit card bills, for example.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you do, and credit card users especially. So a 0.25% interest rate hike, you know, the impact initially really on consumers' wallets will be minimal, but that's the problem, is that we have heard that there's going to be 6 more in total for the entire year, Harold. Mm. That's where the impact's going to really hurt. So as of right now, this 0.25% interest rate is something that you have to take note of, but it's the accumulative effect that's really going to start really impacting folks. So a couple of things to kind of take into consideration here. You know, when it comes to your credit card rate, those are variable. So those will change. So people are going to start seeing probably in the next couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, their interest rate on their credit cards are going to jump up. That's inevitable. So a couple of things that you can do with that, and what I would do immediately is if you've got good credit, start looking at options for those 0% balance transfer credit cards, because that is really your best bet. Usually those can last anywhere between some as low as 6 months, which are stinky ones. I would kind of avoid those. But some are, you can go 12 months to 18 months. So transfer those high balances over to the 0% to get you over this hump. That is, I've done that in the past. It is super easy. It's really not that big of a deal. So, you know, take all of your credit cards, put them on 1, 0%, and move on. Mm. That's really a good thing to kind of start thinking about at this point. Student loans, for those people who have student loans out there, I have my twins, and ours have been kind of sitting. We've had that, you know, break, obviously, from COVID. We've had to be able to kind of park that student loan. We haven't had to pay on those. As of May 1st, they're going to start ticking back up. We're going to start having to pay on those. So right now, if you have a federal loan, those aren't going to be impacted. If you have a private student loan, that's where you have to start kind of worrying and kind of keeping an eye on. This might be a good idea to start kind of looking at some of your options there. Home equity line of credit, those are going to start being impacted as well. But again, for the very, very near future, like as of like the next month or two, we're okay. We're kind of in that holding pattern. But again, those rates are going to go up 6 times before the year ends.
How, you know, and forgive me, I know you're not, you know, necessarily an economist, but how will raising these interest rates hope to curb inflation? It just seems to me that this is, you know, I'm not an economist either. So one more thing going up in interest rates, I'm going to pay more for something else. How is this going to help?
Well, I mean, with so basically what it means is that right now our dollar is getting, we have to pay more for our goods and services.
Right.
So, and I'm not an economist either, but it does help with inflation. So, I mean, right now we are all experiencing those high prices on everything. That's inflation because our dollar gets us less. So by raising the rates, it's supposed to kind of level out the market, kind of calm it down, so making our buying power a little bit better and stronger. But unfortunately, to do that, you're going to have to take a hit, and that is coming in the way of interest rates.
Oh my goodness!
So you know, I mean, we've all, I mean, this is crazy. I think it's what a 30 or 40 year high inflation is it's just crazy, and you know, none of us could have really anticipated this. But we've had a break, Harold, for what, 3 years on interest rates. They have not gone up since 2018 or 2019. So you know, I think at this point, you know, the Fed is saying, well, we've had a nice reprieve, but we've got to get realistic here, and we've got to get some of these goods and services, these prices down lower, and the only way to do that is to do this.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about inflation and how to curb these budget-busting prices that we all have experienced. If you have a comment, if you have a question, perhaps if you have an idea about how to save a penny or two or 12, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melissa, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Melissa. What's on your mind?
Hello, I just had a niece that had a baby, and to save money, instead of going to the mall and shopping for her, I went to the thrift store, and I saved a substantial amount of money. And I found a onesie with Redskins on it, and I think I'm going to keep that one for myself.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I love people like you, Melissa. Good thought.
No, that, you know, that's not a bad idea. Now, is the onesie going to fit you, though? That's my question.
No, just because they changed their name. I'm just hold on to it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't try to put that on. But, you know, that's not a bad idea. Melissa, thank you so much. What do you think about that, Susan? You know, a lot of people are turning to thrifting and secondhand shopping to save a dime.
Absolutely. Melissa is completely spot on with this because that was one of our recommendations when I did a story a few weeks ago about how to save money and to think outside of the box, and thrift stores, no doubt, definitely thinking outside of the box. The other thing, too, that a lot of people don't think about are going to convenience stores and like CVS Pharmacy or Walgreens for products as well, for like toilet paper, for milk, for juice. You would be surprised at those places that oftentimes those are a lot cheaper than in the grocery store. So kind of remember to kind of put that when you're pumping gas, you're like, you know what? I'm really running low on milk. Let me run in and just see what the price is. You will be surprised to find out that they really are a great place to take a look for. Also, you know, the Costco's. Those are, my husband and I joined it, oh my goodness, many years ago, and we re-up it every year. You have to be careful, though, when you go to those, because you can also overspend,
yeah,
which we do, because you're like, oh, we need this 500 pack of, you know, whatever.
Gummy bears.
And then before you know it, you're like, oh, what the heck am I going to do with all of these gummy bears and rice cakes? So, you know, you have to be very careful. But that is a way to do it. The other thing, too, is if you have family members or friends, go in on it together. That's another awesome way to do it. Like if you've got a neighbor and you both have a bunch of kids, you're like, you know what? I got to go buy toilet paper, or I got to go buy whatever. Go along with some friends and split the cost and then divide up the stuff, because that's we were doing that during the pandemic. It was a great way to get the product and to get it for a cheaper price as well. When you divide the prices up, it actually works.
You know, because when you talk about the Costco's and the BJ's and the other places,
yeah,
like that, even though there's a fee, depending on how you shop and depending on the size of your family, that fee could pay for itself within literally one or two visits.
Harold, you are absolutely right. Here's another example. So my son needed a pair of glasses. And so we went to, you know, the regular vision stores. They were so expensive. And we're like, you know what? We've got this membership at Costco. Let's just go there to the Vision store. So we did. And he wasn't a member, so we opened up a membership for him. So these $137 pair of glasses, the frames, and plus the prescription, he ended up walking out of there with only $35 out of his pocket, even with the membership. So the savings is incredible. You've got to kind of look into those places, especially at this time right now. You've got to really kind of explore every option that's out there. Don't do what you've normally been doing. If you want to save money, you've got to think outside of the box.
Without a doubt. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to NBC4's consumer reporter Susan Hogan, trying to help you save every dime during these inflationary times. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Also, if you have a tip that you would like to share on how to save money, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Clifford, calling from Virginia. Clifford, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, and thanks for taking my call. I just have a question because, thank God I'm blessed to be able to pay off my credit cards. I have three major credit cards. I'm not happy with the interest on all of them. But I'm blessed to pay them off, but I'm told not to close them out because that will be a hit on my credit. Why is that?
That is such a good question, and I'm so glad you asked that. And first of all, congratulations for not carrying debt. That's amazing. So what happens when you don't? You're welcome. We were doing that story over the pandemic because obviously we were spending less, so we weren't using our credit cards. And suddenly, and myself included, I got a notice in the mail that one of my Visa cards, they were closing it out for lack of inactivity. And I'm like, what? Like, that's a good thing. Like, I don't want to use my credit card. Well, come to find out, they're not making any money from me not spending any money. And my credit score took a hit. So the bottom line is, whatever credit card you have open, even if you just make a purchase on it, whether it's just like pump gas with it, go grab a thing of milk, you've got to keep it continuing. Otherwise, yes, it does. A dormant account does not look good on your credit score. So you've got to always just kind of keep it open and just kind of feeding it, which makes no sense because you think if I have 12 credit cards, right, I don't want to have them all. But it does make a difference when you have that credit score. You've got to be careful with that. And they will do that. And it takes a ding.
Yeah, because I found this out many years ago on one of my credit cards. I had a $30,000 limit, but then it was closed. So when they closed it for lack of use, that was $35,000 worth of buying power that I no longer had.
Exactly.
And so I learned that a $5 pair of socks that I can buy and pay off just to keep the credit card open really has long-term benefits. Even if you're not using it, you've got to keep that buying power there.
And right, but Harold, can I follow up to that?
Sure.
Briefly, I very briefly, because I...
Well, hold on, exactly Clifford, right. Clifford, hold on, because I've got to take a break, and I want you to hold on to your point. Also, we're going to talk to Cynthia calling from Bowie as well. Cynthia, don't hang up. We're going to talk to you about transferring credit card debt and all kinds of money-saving ideas. Susan Hogan from NBC4 Washington, she's always a wealth of knowledge. Stay with us. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com or download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Your questions, your comments, and your tips to save money. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're giving you tips on how to deal with the pocketbook pressure of inflation and helping you to save a dime. My guest is Susan Hogan, NBC4 consumer reporter. And if you have questions or comments, or if you have your own inflation money-saving tips, share them with us at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, we were talking to Clifford, calling from Virginia. Clifford, what's on your mind? You wanted to follow up.
Right. I just wanted to follow up because you made an excellent point in my experience as well, that you were saying I would lose that buying power. But I had the same thing happen to me. But then when I wanted to get another loan, they used that against me when I had zero balances on my card. But they wanted to give me a higher, they would approve my loan, but they wanted to make it a higher interest because they said at any time I now can go back and have $50,000 that I'm responsible for, which would affect the loan that they were giving me. So they got you coming and going, so to speak. Don't close out the card, but don't, you know.
What about that, Susan? That's an interesting point. Yeah, Susan, go right ahead.
Yeah, and Clifford is absolutely right because, you know, when your account is idle, the card issuer, they're not making any money from your transaction fees. So, you know, with that balance, too, and I noticed as well that without my, I didn't even ask, all of a sudden one of the cards that was not used often, they increased my limit by $10,000. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. You know, you have to be aware because they will do that. And if you're not paying any attention, you're suddenly going to be like, you know, and that can affect your credit score as well. So you just have to be really on top of when those credit cards come, your statements come in the mail, and if you're paperless, if you get them in an email, you've got to read. Make sure you're always looking at that statement for things like that because you just never know when they either up your credit limit or they're closing your account and you get a warning. You've got to pay attention.
Clifford, real quick, what was, when you applied for this loan, what was your credit score?
My credit score at that time was probably about 710, between 710 and 720.
Yeah, you know, how reasonable is it, Susan, when you have a 700-plus credit score, and that could be, you know, 710 or 780, obviously, or anywhere in between, how reasonable is it for people like Clifford to negotiate a rate? Or I'm sure he could also just walk away and look somewhere else.
Well, absolutely. So anything above 700 is really considered a very good credit score. So when you've got that, that is bargaining power for sure. And you should absolutely shop around. And, you know, this especially now with interest rates as they are, you have some wiggle room. I mean, yes, the Fed is raising the rates and credit cards are impacted, but they like people. You know, if you've got a good credit score and you've had a relationship with this particular credit card company, use that to your advantage for sure.
Yeah. Clifford, good luck to you. Thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Cynthia, calling from Bowie. Thanks for hanging on, Cynthia. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
I was calling. I heard Susan mentioned that one of the options, if you have credit cards with high balances, is to transfer them to cards that have a 0% transfer. Does she know of any write-off what cards those might be?
How do you find them? Oh, so you can easily, well, first of all, if you have, as we were saying to Clifford, a good relationship with one of your credit cards that you have now, look at their programs. Otherwise, I go to sites like, if you have a pen and paper, it's called Nerd Wallet, literally like Nerd Wallet.
Oh, yeah, NERD, yeah.
Yeah, we interview them quite a lot for our stories like this because they've got a lot of financial experts. Now, they will give you the caveat that they do get paid commissions for any of the cards that they promote. But I do like what they recommend, and they have really smart ideas. And so you could kind of, if you go onto their website and you can Google or search on their engine what you're looking for, it'll come up, and it will walk you through cards that would work for you. And I've done that before because I wanted to do a 0% transfer as well. And I kind of looked, and I looked around and saw what some of the cards were offering. Because you want to look at the terms too, Cynthia, because not all of them are created equal. So you want to make sure that, you know, you want one that has the transfer. They're always going to have a balanced transfer fee. They're usually between 3% and 5%, which really aren't that bad. So if anything is above that, I would walk away from that. You also want to make sure that you are looking one for one that has a long term for that 0%. And the other thing that you have to make sure of is when the terms of that card ends, so that 0% rate, Cynthia, when that ends, say it's 12 months, that 0% can quickly go up to like 29%, depending on your credit score. So make sure that balance is paid off before the end of those terms. Otherwise, you are going to be, all of that savings that you had when you were doing it for the 0% is going to go away if suddenly it jumps to 20 to 29% after.
Yeah. All right, well, Cynthia, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joseph calling from Fort Washington. Joseph, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing just fine.
My question was, with the Fed hike in interest rate, I have a property that I was considering on selling, and how this hike over the next year would impact me selling my property.
So as for mortgages, like I said, the average rate for like a 30-year fix is about 4.27% as of yesterday, so which is actually an increase of about 1% more compared to last year. Right now, I mean, as they're saying, with the initial rate, it's not really going to be impactful, but over the next year, it can be. So, you know, I think it's just one of those things. It's just to kind of keep an eye on it. Are you thinking of, where is this house? Is it in D.C., Maryland, whereabouts?
It's in Atlanta. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's, I actually don't have a mortgage on it. It's a cheap property. I have a two-bedroom condo and a trailer that I bought. I own both of them outright. What does that mean?
Well, it seems like for selling, it may not hurt them at all. It may be, maybe a little bit different for the buyer, though.
Exactly. I think you're in a great spot. I don't think that would impact you. Yeah.
Okay. Great. That is awesome.
All right. Thank you, Joseph. And I do want to talk a little bit about that, Susan, because particularly if you're talking about here in the DMV, if you want to buy, or if you're in the process of buying right now, and I know this is outside of the inflation thing, this is still harping on the interest rates. If you're in process, you may need to give another look at how much buying power you have with the interest rates going up, if you're going to buy a house or a condo or something.
Right. Yeah. And so if you are shopping for a home or you're planning to do it this year, obviously mortgage interest rates might be higher by the time you actually get to purchase this or get it accepted. So you can't lock in an interest rate until you have a contract to buy a home. So, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to, if you are thinking about doing it, think sooner rather than later, for sure. Not only that, Harold, I mean, my gosh, my sister and her husband have been looking for a home here for a little over a year, because not only are the interest rates, were they fantastic, which is a good thing. So now with the interest rates going up, they're actually hoping that that's going to slow down the market a little bit. But people are spending so much more on these homes, paying $20,000 to $40,000 above ask. So, yeah, this is one of those things that if you are considering, you know, really start thinking about getting up and getting this house bought sooner rather than later, because, you know, I think prices will start kind of coming down a little bit, but until then, it's going to really kind of hurt your heart.
And I'm sure you're tired of them living in your basement for a year. I'm kidding. Get out. How about you guys to get a house?
Get out.
But now let's talk about the inflation piece, because here's the thing that has been really, really difficult. This isn't, I mean, already we're, you know, we're hurting with gas. And I'm sure you've heard, for example, for Marylanders, we could see a break. I live in Maryland. That 30-day gas tax holiday or whatever you want to call it, yeah, it's going to drop the price of a gallon of gas some 36 or 37 cents. That is wonderful. I mean, if you have a 20-gallon tank, you're talking about a savings of almost $8 compared to, you know, the day before. But right. Some of the other things, I mean, we are paying so much more for everything else. People who are looking for cars, for example, and this whole microchip fiasco, it's just amazing to me.
It is. And, you know, and go back to gas for a minute, because that is, like, it blows my mind. And we have a hybrid, so my husband's like always on these. Like, you pump the gas too much, you're gonna go through the battery. I'm like, oh, I know. So, yeah, I mean, a couple things. And if your listeners have pens and papers, I'm gonna give you guys a few gas apps.
Okay.
That I absolutely love and use, especially if you are going on a trip in the near future. So my two favorites. First one is Gas Buddy. So Gas Buddy, I actually did a story on when I was still in Rhode Island. So they've been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So Gas Buddy is awesome. So what you can do, say that you are, you know, you're about to leave your home and you need to fill up gas. You can go into your Gas Buddy app, put in your location, which usually just automatically fills. And then it will show you the local gas stations near you and the prices at that very second. So you can go, oh, you know, should I travel another quarter of a mile to go save a couple of cents? You bet. And so that's awesome. Gas Guru is another really good one. So that's gas and then Guru, G-U-R-U. This one is a gas saving app. So as you pump, you're earning cash.
Mm.
And my photographer, he has this, he uses this app and he has a company car. So he is saving money. He actually gets money for every time he pumps gas, and he's pumping gas quite a bit because we drive Chevy Suburbans. So he gets cash back for every time he does that. So that's a really great way to also, so not only are you going to find, you know, the cheaper gas in your area, but you're also going to earn money while you're pumping gas. And then there's a whole bunch of other ones as well that, like, Get Upside is another really good one as well. So you've got to do you got to put a little effort into wanting to save money, and there are ways to do it, and that really is a good one. And when you're talking about prices on groceries, my grocery bill is ridiculous. Now, mind you, I have two boys plus my husband, so technically I have three boys.
I'm not going to comment on that one. And then you got your sister living in the basement. You know, I don't care.
Exactly. Help me, Harold. Help me, Harold. That sounds like a good segment. So I have three boys, two dogs, and my daughter is living. She moved out right when she graduated from college. She's like, peace, I'm gone. So she's out. So my grocery bills buying for you know, have gone up probably about, I'd say, $50 each week.
Mm.
And it's incredible. So we have done, every year we've done a story about grocery prices. And we compare Wegmans to Safeway, Giant. And 9 times out of 10, Wegmans always wins for the lowest prices.
Really?
And I kid you not. And so, and people always have this perception that Wegmans is going to be more expensive because it's, you know, it just kind of looks, you know, it always has that, you know,
high end look.
It just looks high end, right? But they, time and time again, I have found that the prices there are cheaper. But I also am a big loyalty person too. So I have loyalty rewards, not only with Wegmans, but I do it with Giant. I do it with Safeway. I do it with every single grocery store and, like, a store that you can imagine. I am a loyalty person because I am all about that. So if you aren't a loyalty, you're not signed up to a loyalty program at any of your grocery stores, you really need to. And if people are like, oh, I don't want to give my private, I don't want them to have my information, if you want to save money, do it. And all you're giving is your phone number and your email. That's all I give.
Yeah.
And the savings are great. So you have to do that. If you can't complain about not saving money unless you're, you know, not doing anything about it.
What about the other discount grocery stores, Lidl and Aldi and the like?
Amazing. So Lidl is so good. We did a story with them, gosh, probably 2 years. Well, it was pre-COVID, I'm sure. And they go above and beyond about prices. So they all really do kind of look around. But when they come into the market, other stores kind of start shaking in their boots because Lidl, by and large, is going to look around and they will always try to beat the other guy. So I can't remember what the percentage is, Harold, that they used to do, but maybe 10% always cheaper than the guy next door. So Lidl is very, very good about looking at their market and making sure that their prices are going to be the lowest. And that was the story was, you know, that they were really, they were coming into, and I think somewhere in Maryland, or maybe it was D.C., and all the other stores are going to, like, they're like, watch it, because all these stores around them are just going to start lowering their prices as well. So Lidl has a huge impact on the markets and where they are. And their food, so their private brands are really, truly private to them, and they take a lot of pride in it. So, you know, when you are shopping in Lidl, look for their private brand. All of the stores have private brands. Wegmans does, Giant does. I buy those all the time. I don't get caught up in the brand names at all because 9 times out of 10, they're all being manufactured in the same plant anyway with just a different label.
That's how they get you. And I know they don't have everything, but I think for a lot of the basics, again, when you really want to save a dollar here and there. And I know that they have rewards and coupons and all of that other stuff.
Absolutely.
And I really think that whether they're, you don't have a lot of people clipping per se coupons. They're e-coupons now, but you know, however you do it, you know?
Exactly. And if you're a loyalty member, you know, with Giant or Safeway, Lidl or wherever, yeah, you don't need to go clip coupons anymore. That's a thing of the past. Everything is on your phone. You know, you can shop via the app on your phone as well. As you're shopping, you can get discounts as you go. You can see. So, I mean, it's just there's so many ways around these higher prices. And, you know, my kids always laugh. I'm like, I used to be a brand name person, I wholly admit. But since I had children, I'm like, sorry, kids, you know, we're getting the Giant ketchup and it tastes just as good as the Heinz. Okay. And so, and it does. And you have to just kind of pivot and adapt. And, you know, we're still spending more than we did a year ago, 2 years ago, but you know, you can still try to, you know, stop the bleeding a little bit by doing a little homework.
Let's talk a little bit about personal habits. For example, a lot of families are changing, just like you discussed, changing from brand names to store brand or generic brands. But I want to go back to the gas thing for a moment. Are you finding that you and your family have begun to, in some way, shape, or form, change your habits with your vehicles, for example?
100%. So a couple of things that we're doing, and I think this might be something that folks might actually kind of like as well. So we have a lot of cars because I have drivers. So I have 3 kids who each now all have their own cars.
Wow.
Plus my husband and I have a car. We have 5 cars.
Ooh.
And plus an extra car. So we this year are like, we don't need to do this. We need to sell these car, you know, one car off. So we looked at what's costing us the most. What has the highest prices, you know, as far as, you know, putting with the gas guzzler kind of thing. And we also have a leased vehicle. So what we decided to do is to turn in one lease vehicle and get rid of it. We're done. We're going to hand it over. And then I'm taking over my husband's leased car, but we're buying it out. And we're buying it at the rate, at the price that we decided on, what, 3 years ago? So we're not impacted by the high prices of used cars today. If we were to buy the car that we're going to be paying for once we turn in the lease, we would be paying probably I'd say maybe $12,000 more. So consider, if you have a lease that's almost nearing the end of the term, consider actually purchasing it out, because I can guarantee you it's going to be cheaper than if you could ever buy that car today used. So that's something that we're doing. And driving wise as well, as I said, my husband gives me the, you know, you're too hard on the gas pedal with the hybrid. So we're like, now it's a challenge with my, you know, I'm like, how far can I go on this battery before I actually have to step on the gas? And so different things like that. And yeah, I mean, we think twice. We tell our kids, do you really need to, after school, go to McDonald's and then go to the gym and then come to the house and then only to go back to the school for practice? No, stay at school, get your homework done there. Don't come back and forth. So it's all of those things that we do. We've all made concessions just to kind of get over this hump. And you know what? It's not a big deal. It really isn't. When you really sit and think about it, we're like, is this really a big deal to kind of make these changes? No, they're easy peasy. You can't overthink it.
Like my mother used to say when I was a kid, we've got McDonald's at home. I'll make you a hamburger.
So exactly. I'm going to use that tonight.
Absolutely. You want some French fries? Here, let me fry up some of these potatoes for you.
I love it.
And have some of that giant, giant ketchup.
Mic drop. We're done.
So now here's the other thing also, and I know this is a personal thing, and maybe it's even, you know, psychological. Are you a fill up the gas tank when it gets halfway empty? Or do you fill up when you get next to E? Is, you know, we've had some of our callers over the past couple of weeks, they say they won't let it get past half because it is a mindset where you may be filling up more often, but you're not spending as much. I don't, you know, look, I filled up today and so I want to take out a second mortgage.
Right. So the truth is, because my husband's probably hearing me and he's going to yell it up to me and call me a liar. Okay. So the truth is, yes, I'm one of those who's like, oops, like, oh shoot. I watched the little, you know, it says 20 miles to empty,
right.
5 miles to empty. And I'm like, oh gosh. So, you know, so I do that. That's simply because I just, you know, I'm busy and I get lost in my podcast and don't watch the gas needle, which I should. But yeah, my husband, we're always, he's under the impression that you should never let your car ever get below a quarter, but he really likes to say a half. But no matter what, you're still spending the same amount of money. However, with that being said, you know, when you do find a gas station that happens to have a low, you know, it looks pretty low and you're like, yeah, to half tank, go and get it filled up. You know, take advantage of a low price if you happen to see one.
Yeah. Yeah. And with all of the driving that, you know, that I do, my commute is 100 miles round trip.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it's, but, you know, the reality is that you got to do what you got to do. Now, what about, you know, we as Americans, we have a tendency to be very knee-jerk in the midst of any kind of crisis. Do you think that this is the time also to look at the possibility of buying, like you and your husband own, a hybrid car or even an electric car? Are there pros and cons to that when we are in this inflationary crisis?
Yeah, you know, and we have talked about that. We have not, you know, We talked about buying an all-electric car, but there's so many different variables with that you have to consider. And one is that the infrastructure is not really prepared for everyone to have an electric car.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are like yourself doing all of that driving, you know, unless you know of charging stations along the way or that your work has a charging station, you know, you have to take that into consideration. I think if I remember 2024, I forgot what the date was, 2025 or something like that, that they, you know, there is in the infrastructure bill that was passed, there is an effort to try to put more charging stations and give states funding to do that as well. So because it's going to happen, there is going to be a time when there will be mostly electric cars. you know, and I think it's a fantastic idea. I would love to get one. We do a lot of driving. We do a lot of long distance driving. And I think to myself, I don't know if I want to get to that point where I need to stop to charge. So it's a mindset too, Harold, for sure. Like, it's like we're so conditioned to, you know, be able to go anywhere and find a gas station, but you can't go anywhere just to find a charging station. So it's a mindset. It's a complete change of behavior. But in terms of cost, you know, prices are definitely coming down on electric vehicles because they are becoming more available as well. The whole, you know, obviously right now with the current economy and what we're dealing with oil and with Russia and all of that, I mean, this is the time when people are like, I've got an electric vehicle, not my problem.
Right,
so
exactly.
So I think right now it's a personal choice, but I do believe if this continues, it's going to become more of a practical choice.
And one of the other things that I discovered, which a lot of people will probably discover also, even if you can afford one, if you don't have a garage,
right,
you can't get one because they've got to, if you buy a Tesla or something like that, they've got to give you the charging station and they've got to install that in your garage. But if you're parking on the street, yeah, it's just not going to work.
Right, and that's where the whole infrastructure and making these more available to folks, you know, having states really kind of stop and think about where should we, you know, strategically put these charging stations for people who rent. Think of like everyone who parks on the street. There's millions of people who park on the street. But if you don't supply them with any way to charge their car, then that's not ever going to happen. So that will change, and I do believe it has to change. You know, I mean, I think by the year 2035 is when manufacturers plan to have all of their cars, you know, at that point, all transferred over to being electric. So that's not that far away.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, so things are going to start changing. So, you know, I'm all for the electric vehicles, but right now I'm not quite ready to take the plunge.
I know a week or so ago in one of your reports, you had something about food saving or preservation. There was something that you did about. Can you talk to us a little bit about that in the final minutes here?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of my favorites. Is this the one that we did food waste?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Oh, my gosh. So I give kudos to my producer, Amber Rodriguez, because it was so funny because I didn't even know half of these things could actually do it. But here's a couple. Let me think off the top of my head. So for potatoes, if you store potatoes with apples, your potatoes will last up to 6 weeks.
Wow.
This one was really cool. For herbs like basil, sage, rosemary, okay? So if you buy it, normally you have to go buy a bunch and you only need it like a tablespoon for one recipe and then what, you throw it out in
exactly.
5 days, right? So here's a really cool trick. So take your little sprigs of sage or rosemary, cut them up into pieces, put them in a ice tray, and you know, an ice tray, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of pouring water in them, you pour olive oil into the little ice tray with your little sprigs of your herbs, and you freeze them. And then when you need to use it again, you take your little oil cube with the herb and you stick it into your pan, and it already has the oil and it has the little herb, and you saute it and it's good to go. How cool is that?
How long would that last? Probably.
Oh my God. I mean, it's probably up to, I'm going to guess. I mean,
forever, it seems like.
Yeah, forever. It's frozen, right? So that was a really cool one. Another one is the lettuce. We go through lettuce. Oh, my gosh, I throw so much of it out. So when you get home, you wash your lettuce. You put it, instead of just throwing it into a container, make sure that you put at the bottom of the container, you put a paper towel that absorbs the moisture. So then, because obviously moisture is what wilts your salad, your lettuce, and it, ugh. So always make sure you put a paper towel there. What else did we do? Oh, yeah, strawberries. So we throw out strawberries. I feel like after 3 days, they get icky. So strawberries, when you get them home, wash them with one part vinegar, 10 parts water. you rinse them in, so I put them in like a bowl. You rinse them up really well.
Real quick.
It does not taste like vinegar, I promise you.
Mm.
And then you put them away that way. And that will let, that gave, that probably gave us a full week of strawberries.
Susan Hogan, NBC4 consumer reporter, always a wealth of information. We salute your producer as well. And get your sister out of the basement, and we'll be all right. Susan, thank you so much.
Harold, thank you so much. It's always so much fun to talk to you.
You too. Take care. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, March 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.